I've always had a degree of sympathy for this man, Ananias. When all the other believers in Damascus were hiding from Saul, were concerned about Saul's arrival, were probably in secret places sympathizing with one another because of the trouble that they faced, Ananias was sent into Saul's presence and sent to pray for him. The Lord Jesus Christ used Ananias for this important work of introducing Saul of Tarsus to his commission and his great responsibility for the future. And that shows us that the Lord uses means. And I thought it might be useful for some of the younger ones that are listening just to pause there for a moment and think about that word means. When I say from time to time that the Lord uses means, what is it that I mean when I say means? So I'm going to tell you what means means. When we say that the Lord uses means, what we mean is that the Lord uses people and the Lord uses circumstances. He uses people and circumstances like you and like me in order to do and accomplish his will. The Lord God is strong and powerful. The Lord can do anything that he wants to do. And certainly the Lord does not need people like you and like me. He doesn't need mere flesh and blood. Indeed, he doesn't even need angels to do his work. He could do his work with a mere word of his mouth, with a mere thought of his mind. Whatever he thought to do, whatever he desired to do, would simply occur and happen. Such is the power of our God. He could do everything by himself, but he doesn't choose to do that. God chooses to use means. He uses people, people like us, in order to do his will. You'll remember when we were thinking last week about Saul of Tarsus heading towards Damascus, we saw that the Lord Jesus Christ himself met Saul of Tarsus on the road. He didn't use means on that occasion. He went to Saul of Tarsus personally. He had a personal meeting with Saul of Tarsus. And we know from Scripture why that was. It was because Saul was to be the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And just as the other apostles had met with the Lord Jesus Christ personally, so Saul met with the Lord Jesus Christ personally. But having had that meeting, Saul of Tarsus now was ministered to and he was helped by this man, Ananias. And Ananias was the means that the Lord used in order to speak to his servant. And Ananias, of course, was just a man. Just a man like you and I are people. And Ananias was as frightened as anyone else about the coming of Saul of Tarsus to Damascus and all the things that he might do. And Ananias was very unsure about this idea about going to see Saul of Tarsus and praying for him. And so it's interesting to see how Ananias reacts. He says to the Lord, he speaks to the Lord almost as if he's not sure that the Lord has altogether caught up with the activities of the day. Not sure that the Lord fully knew everything that was going on. And he says to the Lord in verse 14, "He hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." As if the Lord didn't know why Saul was coming to Damascus. But Ananias just wanted to make sure, because Ananias was frightened in this situation. And that reminds us that there's always lots of reasons for us not to do what God would have us do. There's always lots of reasons for us to hold back, to withdraw, and just to not do what the Lord's will is. But Ananias had to learn a lesson which we all have to learn. When the Lord instructs us, we should obey his word. When the Lord speaks, we should follow his direction and do his will. Because the Lord has chosen people like us to be his means of communicating his gospel to this world and bringing about his purposes in this world. So the Lord tells Ananias, Saul is a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel of mine. He's been chosen by God, first of all, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an elect vessel. And he has been chosen of God to preach the gospel to others. Ananias, I want you to be the means of speaking to Saul of Tarsus, because Saul of Tarsus is going to be the means by which the gospel is preached to others. You see, God doesn't save people in this world and immediately take them to heaven. He keeps us in this world until our work is done, until his work that he would have us do is completed. The Lord saves his people in this world for service. And Saul, or Paul, as he would become, he would be taken into the service of the Lord Jesus Christ as a means of Christ accomplishing his purpose. And Saul, or Paul, would preach, and he would suffer for the cause and for the sake and for the people and for the Lord himself. And so Ananias is obedient to the Lord's command, and he goes as he was told, and he speaks to Saul of Tarsus. And notice what he says to Saul. I think this is lovely. He calls him brother. He says, Brother Saul. And he wasn't calling him a brother because they both came from the same country, or they were both of the same nation, or they were both Jews. He calls him a brother because he is now a brother in Christ. And that's a really precious thing. Here, the servant of God, Ananias, he looks upon Saul of Tarsus, this man who had been so wanting to hurt Ananias, so wanting to hurt Ananias' friends and family and his fellow believers and those that he fellowshipped with. And Ananias looked upon him and he saw that here was a man who was now a brother of his in Christ. And that reminds us that when we get saved, we're a family. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We might not be brothers and sisters in our families by our parents or by our birth or by our nation, but we are a family in Christ. And he says, Brother Saul. And he goes on to say, the Lord, even Jesus. And again, we can remember that Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus to hurt, to harm, to bind and imprison and perhaps even kill those that believed in Jesus. And here Ananias tells him that it was Jesus, that very one that he was persecuting, that had now received Saul of Tarsus to be his follower and to be his servant. And the Lord Jesus saves sinners like Saul of Tarsus. I think that's a lovely testimony that we have, a lovely witness that we have of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. The Lord has given us this, the Holy Spirit has given us this, to show us that you're never too bad to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never done too many things wrong to be beyond the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're never too deep in sin, too deep in rebellion or too deep in iniquity, even too deep in persecution of the Lord's church and the Lord himself, to be saved by the all-powerful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ananias also said to Saul, receive the Holy Ghost, or receive the Holy Spirit. You see, the Lord prepares and equips his people for the tasks that he will give them. He has tasks for his people who are his means of accomplishing his will, but he provides help and he provides the strength that we need to fulfill those tasks. So the Holy Spirit came upon Saul and equipped him for those tasks that the Lord would give to him. Even when Saul had to suffer, he knew that the Holy Spirit was with him and going with him. And Saul was baptized. He was baptized as a witness to his union with the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized as a witness into Saul's dying with the Lord Jesus Christ and being raised again to newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And within these few verses, we see the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. It was an amazing turnaround. Saul, who hated Christ, who hated his people, is saved by Christ and converted to be one of his people. Saul, who was zealous to persecute, is now zealous to help and to support, to minister the gospel to the Gentiles and the Jews, whoever will listen to his message of gospel truth. And Saul once was blind, but now he could see the true Saviour of sinners. Those scales that were upon his eyes because of the brightness of the light that had shone on the road to Damascus were removed. A picture, no doubt, of the fact that the blindness that was in his heart had also been taken away. A great work of transformation had taken place, a conversion and a new life. And so Saul of Tarsus, who would soon become Paul the Apostle, was that one whose conversion we see as a testimony to us all of the power of grace, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the glory of God in accomplishing his purpose, using means in this world to the salvation of sinners and the gathering in of his church. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us this morning.